Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Do you want to share the wisdom moment for today? And the wisdom moment is found in Proverbs 27, verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I'm going to repeat that again. Proverbs 27, 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now, instinctively, when we think of a wound or something that hurts, we automatically think that this is, hello, bad. And we certainly don't think that pain and hurt should be associated with a friend. I mean, it's like, did I read this verse of scripture correctly? Wounds from a friend can be trusted? And we're talking about trusted wounds. Trusted wounds. The next part of this verse of scripture talks about, and it appears to be wrong as well, because we never really think about our enemies giving us kisses. What? Right?
Not with some other motive. Not with some other motive.
Right. The truth is that pain serves a purpose in our life. I mean, have you ever thought about what would happen to your hand if you left it on an iron or in a stove and you didn't have the ability to sense pain? Yeah. Maybe you just kind of set your hand down on an eye.
Yeah.
But you didn't have the ability to sense pain. I think your hand would be burned significantly. You know what I'm saying? Maybe someone would tell you the smoke of burnt flesh. But if you didn't have the ability to sense that pain, you would suffer tremendous loss. And oftentimes pain in our physical body is to alert us that something is wrong and that we need to attend to it. You know, after we watch Pat work out, we all experience pain. But, you know... But yet physical pain in our body tells us, you know, alert, something's wrong here. Something's not right. You need to look at your toe, your arm, your leg, whatever there and take a look at that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same thing is true, Pat and Chris, when we're talking about our inner man. You know, oftentimes we will experience pain or discomfort in our inner self that is absolutely necessary for us to grow and mature in our relationship with others and our, most importantly, relationship with God. But oftentimes what happens, and I'm sure this doesn't happen with you guys, I'm positive, but oftentimes we try to guard ourselves, from experiencing the pain that is necessary for us to be free and move on with God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, we guard ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it,
right.
A child who has a splinter in his finger, you know, what is a small child normally that tells his father, please don't take it out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's going to be too painful. Don't bring that needle here. Don't do it.
Right.
You know, leave it alone. Don't touch it. It hurts. And every parent knows that it is necessary for that child to feel temporary pain of this needle, right, digging into this finger to get that splinter out, to enjoy true healing from infection and worse pain.
Right. Or that loose tooth that's just dangling by a thread.
Yeah.
That you just, you know, you got to relieve them of this discomfort. You've got to take care of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pat's also a resident dentist.
He is.
He has special pliers and all, but moving right along.
Hey, my kids come to me when their twos are falling out.
Pull it out,
believe
right?
it or not. Yeah.
Eddie does well. He has those skills too. But think about it. You have this pain. You got this tooth. You got this splinter, and a young child saying, "Don't take it out. It's gonna hurt." Mm-hmm. And you see this. It's all getting puffy, and it's like, "No, we got to get this thing out because we know by getting it out and dealing with it, it's gonna cause you not to be infected and cause you even worse pain." So when we think about what this verse of scripture says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. I mean, let's talk about this word friend. You know what I mean? In today's society, we have so cheapened that word. I mean, it's become so misused. Everybody's a friend. And my goodness, in Facebook world, I mean, it's like they give friend a whole new different definition, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is that many people really only have very few friends in their lives. And even fewer friends who will actually tell them the truth and that they can actually receive the truth from.
Right.
How many people do you have? Right? So what is a friend? What is a friend? A friend is someone who looks out for your best interests. Someone who has your back, and not even according to what you think or based on your standards, but according to what is right. Some people say, well, you're having my back. It's like, I'm not going to have your back on that because that is just foolish.
Yeah, right.
God's not into that. I'm not having your back on that. But a true friend has your back based upon what is right according to God's word. That's a friend. And for a Christian, right, a friend, you know, has even that deeper meaning. It's someone who's going to draw you closer to God and to the family of God. I mean, that's a friend, right? For a believer, you want friends that are going to encourage you in the Lord. They are going to help you and be challenged in your faith, challenged in your intimacy with God, challenged in your prayer and in your abiding. I mean, those are my friends, right?
Right, right.
And this is why a friend, based on this definition, can be trusted to inflict wounds. I mean, this is what the verse of Scripture says. I mean, let's look at it again. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I mean, under this type of definition, a true friend can be trusted.
Right.
And so the thing is, we got to realize what is a friend, and we start talking about what a friend is. This is the wisdom moment for today, and we're just defined what a friend was. Friend is anyone that's going to draw you close to God and has your back concerning the things that are right, not because they're just, you know, quote unquote, your friend. No. Mm-hmm. A friend does the right thing. And this is why, based on this definition, a friend can be trusted to inflict wounds based upon this scripture. These wounds are not to damage and hurt us, but only to help us to grow closer to God and the family of God. I mean, have you ever heard the saying that the truth hurts?
Oh, yeah.
It hurts the very thing that it needs to hurt. And the thing that needs to die, and that's your pride, right? That's our pride. What surgery has anyone had that has not hurt, but at the end was very good? It's just the process. It's all just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we can say faithful are the wounds of a surgeon, right? But we can trust because we trust the surgeon. What makes that statement true is that we can trust them. That we were trusting the surgeon to do the right thing, so we can say, okay, I didn't inflict this pain, cut me up, staple me up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cast me up. In some cases, they have to break a bone in order to reset it, right?
Yeah.
In order to reset it. So, but we're trusting it because we know that ultimately this is going to be the right thing. So in comparison, we can really understand that what the Lord is communicating with us is that we can trust these wounds. We can trust these wounds from a friend who is going to help us grow and be healed in the Lord. You know, Jesus helped us to define family, you know. I mean, Jesus himself said, who is my brother and who is my brothers, pointing to his disciples. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother, Matthew 12:48-50. I mean, he's defining what friend is. He's demanding what family is. It's all about the will of God and the purpose of God, right? So let's take a look at the enemy as we're coming to a close, because it says the enemy multiplies our kisses. I mean, oftentimes, because you know, what's this whole thing about enemy multiplies our kisses? What's that all about? Well, it has to do with, you know, our flesh likes to kiss. We fail to see that the kiss is from someone or something that's going to do us harm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, what is an enemy? An enemy is anything or anyone who comes between my relationship with God and his people. Anything or any person that influences me or attacks my Lord and or the ways of God and ultimately, you know, just looking to separate me from the Lord. And it's like we have to look at how often we have misdefined what an enemy is, right? An enemy contradicts the word of God. So why do we tolerate the enemies around us, right? Why do we tolerate their influence? Is it because they satisfy a fleshly desire for us, but it has no value to God? And an enemy of God, right, the things of God, can never be allowed to get close enough to kiss us. We got to remember, it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We must repent from allowing the enemies of God to infiltrate us. We must be open to allow God to use those in our lives to remove the splinters in our inner man so that we can be free, heal, and whole. The wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Floating on clouds, everything is dreamy. If that's your picture of heaven, then listen to Randy Alcorn on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Serving God for all eternity, seeing God and being with Him forever and doing what He's called us to do and made us to do, that's exciting. And Satan doesn't want us to be excited about heaven. And one of the main reasons, I think, is that you have a bunch of Christians going around who aren't excited about heaven. They think that it's maybe going to be dull and boring and all of that. Well, how motivated are they to share the gospel with their non-Christian neighbor?
There's no doubt we can learn a lot about eternity from the Bible and not so much from contemporary culture. Randy's painted a picture of heaven that should excite us. Learn more about heaven and having a relationship with God when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what He commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and He speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, He says, because He said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness,
right.
But you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to vfntv.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, I was just reading in Matthew again, and I'm just amazed at the people's responses to him in places where they weren't familiar with Jesus. They were amazed at the miracles that he performed. They were just amazed at the teachings and all of his just wisdom and knowledge, and it was powerful. But when he went back to his own hometown, he got a different response. The people that knew who he was before he was who he was, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was reading in, it's in chapter 13, verse 53, it says, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. They said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. And then they said this, well, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers named James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And then it says, and they took offense with him. They just could not receive his ministry. Would not. They refused. And then it says, but Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did some, and he could not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. So even Jesus could not do what he was sent to do if there's no faith. They couldn't. It just wasn't possible. Because if you think about it, you read all the different miracles that he performed, a lot of it, I mean, most of them, there was some interaction with the people that he was ministering to.
Sure.
You know,
your faith has made you well.
Exactly. It was because of their faith was attached to the whole thing. You know, even the woman who reached out and touched his garment was healed of her bleeding. And and when the I think it was the blind man, they were screaming out, you know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then he goes, well, what do you want me to do? I want to see. There was faith. There had to be something attached to it.
Sure.
But he went home. He went home. These people that knew him when he was just a kid. And they could not get past that. They just could not get past this is just some kid that was, you know, working for his dad in the carpenter shop. You know, they couldn't get past it. You know, here's his mom, his sisters, his brother, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
They could not see past it. And they got offended by him. I'm thinking, oh, dear God, please don't ever, ever let me get that familiar with you that I cannot receive from you anymore.
Right.
You know, when when your biting times get so, oh, well, that was cool, God. And you move on. You don't apply it to your life anymore. You don't think God's speaking to you anymore. You've heard it all.
I read that before.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the five loaves, two fishes. Oh, yeah, yeah, Check. He feeds everybody. Got it.
I got that underlined.
That's cool. Highlighted. I highlighted that before. Move on.
Right.
I'm like, oh, dear God. I was just struck by that whole scenario that even Jesus could not do miracles in his own hometown. So we can't be surprised that, you know, the people around us. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, and, you know, I was just like radically changed. They're like, who are you? What happened? What'd you do with that guy that I knew? And they didn't want nothing to do with it. I mean, my family rejected me. My friends rejected me. You know, I'm like, it was just me and God, dude. That was it, you know?
Right.
And, I didn't care. I mean, I was so enamored by Jesus, you know? You know, I still am today, but, you know, it's just that newness.
Sure.
When you first meet the Savior of your soul, I mean, come on. I mean, the only thing you compare it to is when you first meet your wife, you know what I'm saying? When y'all first start dating, you know, there's that newness, and there's that thing that you have between the two of you. But when it comes to God, I mean,
which is very low compared to your encounter with God.
Exactly. I'm just trying to, people who've never had that or don't know what I'm talking about, what you compare it to. And I was just struck by the whole situation with them, and I just prayed, God, please don't ever let me get that way. Don't let me get too familiar with you, that I cannot receive, I cannot see the things that you're doing in my presence. You know what I'm saying? He's doing miracles every day, but we can get so familiar with him.
And that's the fatal price of familiarity.
Yeah.
And that's what every believer should guard their heart from, because it's, you know, what a shame that Nazareth, his hometown, I mean, they could have been put on the map. You know what I'm saying? Jesus came from here. You know
exactly.
I mean? Jesus came from here. They could have been put on the map. Instead, And that's the whole thing, you know, when you start putting your mind and you start wrapping your mind around things and you start judging things and pulling out your ruler and start pulling and you start measuring.
Mm-hmm.
So you're moving in the things of man and you're not moving in the things of God, you know, and you've got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. You got this one. I heard this teaching already. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to being a little green and humble? And now, because you learn a little something,
mm-hmm.
you have, you know, now it's like, oh, I can't receive.
Right.
And who loses there? I mean, Jesus didn't lose.
Mm-mm.
Jesus went to the next city.
He moved on.
He went to the next city.
He didn't hang around. He'd keep going back and going back, yep, and going back, like we tend to do. Like, oh my, let me just try one more time. Whack.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, when will we learn? He said, move on. He said, dust your feet off. Right. You know, they're not worthy of you. Just keep going.
Keep it moving because that's just it. They're not going to be able to receive the blessing. They're not going to be able to receive what God wants to do. And what a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to think that you could hold up your blessing, you can hold up the biggest thing that you need in your life for God to do, and because you're closed-minded, because you've got it already figured out, because you prejudged it, because you already know how this is going to end, quote unquote, and God possibly couldn't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not going to be able to have the miracles, the power of God,
right,
the truth of God's word that'll set you free.
Yeah,
because you got familiar.
Right.
Even Jesus said, he told them at one point, he says, even if you don't believe in me, believe in the miracles,
exactly,
believe in the power.
Mm-hmm.
How can you deny it? It's right in front of you. You know, people are being healed, you know, mm-hmm, from diseases, you know.
They were so blind, they even called him Satan.
Yeah.
It's by Beelzebub that you're doing these things.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, really? Really? It's gotten to that point?
Yeah.
Amazing. That's, the Pharisees were just looking, and they got jumped all in the whole thing as well. It's just like, this is a recipe. The fatal price of familiarity is a recipe to lose your miracle, to lose your blessing, and to lose everything that God has for you. I mean, ask Miriam. I mean, Miriam got caught up saying, you know, well, God speaks to me too. And here's Moses being called to lead a people out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he probably helped minister to his sister, you know, Miriam. He probably taught her probably how to hear the voice of the Lord.
Yeah, right.
Taught her all this stuff. And all of a sudden now, who is Aaron? You know, who is Moses? Who is Moses?
Yeah.
He's my brother. I know about him.
Yeah.
I know what my mother, man.
I used to change his diapers.
Yeah. Right. It always strikes me, like, why would people always want to talk about, well, I remember back in the day. Well, you know, we're not living back in the day. This is a new day. You know what I'm saying? It's that thing of trying to bring back who you were before Christ. Like, deal with what Christ is doing now. You know what I'm saying? This is real. And because she thought that she could do that, God made it very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And she was struck with leprosy. I mean, many people today are suffering a leprous condition. They're wounded. They have all this stuff going on because they've put and they've touched their mouth on the things of God. You know, what God is doing. They've got so familiar that they're saying things or speaking things out. God's saying, Miriam, Moses, I speak to you face to face. Okay. This is my man. Okay. And there were consequences. Moses had to pray for her. But guess what? I believe those 7 days that the whole Israelites had to stay in the camp, that they were shut down. They couldn't keep moving until she was quarantined and she was healed and then she was able to go with them.
Yeah.
And I think about if you're in some sort of leadership position in your family, you're a parent, you're a father, your husband, if your fatal price of familiarity could literally cause your entire family to lose the blessing. You know, many times we're gatekeepers, we're influencers of what God's doing. We could be ones to help and be a channel and open the doorway for what God's doing. Mm. Or you can be the person to judge it and slam the door shut. And to me, it's like, I don't want to be the one later to find out, I had all these blessings for your family. Mm. I had all these blessings for your friends. Mm-hmm. But you squashed it because of judging and whatever, you know what I'm saying? You got familiar. Mm-hmm. Right. And now nothing happened. Exactly. And now nothing happened. It's a powerful word, Pat, because it just really helps us to stay humble. That's what we're missing, humility.
Yeah.
It stays humble and say, you know what, God? I'm not going to get familiar with who you're using. Mm-mm. And I'm not going to be familiar with your word. I refuse to be familiar. I'm going to allow you to share whatever you want to share with me. Again, even though I might have read this before, I'm trusting that there's a fresh word for me in there. And we can pray, Lord, reveal the word in the word mm-hmm. each day. We'll be right back.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports. I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad, and I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know, it's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Here we are. You know, the only way that you can get away and take a break from the fulfillment of so many words that you know that's taking place is just
shut off every form of media. And that's why we're here at VFN Radio, because we want to give you the light perspective, the word perspective. Right. We don't want you to be trembling and terrified of the signs. We want you to be fearful of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And he'll protect you. This is what the word of God says. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Think about it, a strong, fortified tower. And the righteous, those that are righteous, according to Romans chapter 5, under the blood of Jesus, because we receive a gift of righteousness when we repent and give our life to God and follow him, the righteous run into it and are saved. Mm. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, you're going to need the tower, the name of the Lord. You're going to need where we're going and why we're here. And the only reason we're doing this is because we love you and we want you to know about this. And Ezekiel 33, I believe it is, says that if we didn't do this, then people who don't run in to the name of the Lord, and because they didn't know about it because nobody told them, then that person's blood would be on their hands.
That's wow. Right.
He's 37 maybe, but listen, he says, but if they repent, he says, if they hear what you're saying, if they hear the warning, if they hear you say, hey, a storm is being fashioned against you, but if you turn, I'll turn the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you saved, but if enough respond, the storm ceases to exist. Think about it. Who is this that the storms obey? Who can hold their hands out and say, peace, be still? Mm. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen, there's a storm in your life right now, and there's a storm around you, and probably there's a storm on your television news. I want to tell you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous, made righteous through their faith in Jesus Christ, making him the Lord of their life, can run into that name. In the name of Jesus, and be saved. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. That's just beautiful. That's what I encourage you this morning, because I know we're hearing, you know, report after report of this horrific marathon bombing that we've already talked about already, and just you can listen to a previous program. I don't want to go there emotionally again, but I didn't have time to get over that before all of a sudden man that's held captive by obviously second heaven begins to mail envelopes to our government officials.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what are you doing? And that's the devil, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to pray for those in authority over you.
That's right.
You know,
they arrested
him
already.
Good. Very good. Yeah, I heard they arrested a whole bunch of people, then they came back and said, never mind, we didn't. You know, I never know which one they're, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's so much going on right now.
But very good. Very good. So that was the suspect that was in Mississippi.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Lord, we thank you for justice in that.
That's
right. We just pray protection, Lord, over all of our leaders, that any of these crazy situations would be stopped.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be stopped, Lord, because we want to have a peaceful life, right?
That's right.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what he says, that if you pray for those in authority over you, then you'll have a peaceful life.
That's right.
Listen, you know, we need peace.
All right. Hmm.
You know, you can't afford the Prozac, right? So it's just because peace.
That's right.
You can either have peace or Prozac, but you can't have them both. They have different names for a lot of stuff nowadays. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you this. We're going to be sharing with you today. If you missed yesterday,
wow,
you got to get it. You got to listen to it. Go to the highlights, listen to it. It's the name of it is A Prophetic Word.
Yep, the convergence of a choir of prophetic words.
Isn't that beautiful? That's what happened. Right. And we're actually watching all the parts of the choir sing, and we're amazed. By the time we got done with yesterday's program, we were just sitting in awe and just saying, oh, it's all coming to pass. Every bit of it's coming to pass. I mean, words from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, Steve Hill Ministries, Peter Wagner,
John Paul Jackson,
words the Lord has given myself and given John, and it's like, it's happening so quickly. And it's like, you got to get it. If you really want to get, you know, so often, you know, people can spend their whole life in a dying process only to be able to write a book or preach a message so you can hear what they died for in 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 60 minutes. And I think about Joe Martin, you know, you think about that. He says, you know, people just won't, good morning, Joe. not Joe. Good morning, Joe Martin. Anyway, so and that people pay him money to be able to go and talk about what he read because they won't read it. People just don't read it, you know.
Yeah.
Hope I didn't give away your secrets. Anyway, so and so in the context of that, but that's okay with God. God, you know, we have Moses' experience, we have Abraham's experience, we have all these those that have gone before us experiences, and there's a lot to that one little verse or that one chapter of somebody's life.
That's right.
I mean, Gideon was much more to him than three chapters. You know what I'm saying? He was, and so, but you can read their experiences, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. And I'm telling you, yesterday's program, you know, it's obviously not everything, but I believe it's so anointed that if you just relax, shut down all the noise, and say, "Lord, I'm ready to receive a word from the Lord," and just began the convergence prophetic. What's it called? What's the title of it?
The convergence of a choir of prophetic words.
Right.
Ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn.
Yeah.
And the coming great awakening.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got
it's just
it.
Full circle. I mean, yeah. It's just full circle. So much in this word.
So you can find that on the, obviously just listen to the program. You can go to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. I think it's on the right side right now, right? Right side.
It's still there.
And your titles on the VFN TV, VFN Radio app, obviously you're not going to have that whole title. So you'll probably hear the first part of the title that says something like.
The convergence.
Yeah, look for convergence is the key word. And just relax and listen to it. And just say, God, speak to me. You know, if this is a warning for me, you know, I want to respond because the reason why God warns, the reason why a father warns their children is because he loves them. And he's warning. I mean, a stop sign is a warning. I mean, think about this. People say, I can't believe this red light. This traffic light is just stopping me all the time. Okay, let's just take the traffic light out. There's no more traffic signals, no traffic signs, and you got four roads converging right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how are you going to fill in your life without? I mean, you're going to be, you know, you just don't ever know,
right?
And so what a traffic light does, what a stop sign does, what a yield sign does, it warns you that you need to be careful because you can die.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody else who's not paying attention to the signs will run that red light or traffic light or run that stop sign. And because you paid attention to the signs of the times, because you paid attention to the warning, you just put your foot on the brake and thought, what am I doing? I don't care what they're saying out there in the religious world. This is what God's word says. I'm going to start reading it and doing it. I'm going to be a hearer and a doer. That's what a warning is. A stop sign is just letting you know. Think about it. Think about wherever you're at in the world, even including South Korea. Good morning to Amy. Imagine going through an intersection without any traffic signs or traffic devices to warn you that you're about to cross an intersection. I mean, you don't need one when you're going on a straight line, a straight road, but when you're about to cross an intersection, and listen, America is in the middle of an intersection, and we're all going through it. And yesterday's program, and many of the prophetic words, but yesterday's program will just increase your appetite to know more and give you enough to know, my goodness, Lord, open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart that I might see. And so you don't want to miss it. You can get it on the VFN TV app. You can get it on at the torch at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. Don't miss it. Also, go ahead.
On the app, you know, you can find it also by looking for the image on the left-hand side called Prophetic Word. Prophetic Word. And that's kind of highlighted there, made plain and in red so that you can definitely be... find it more easily.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building
through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, some place that is a place that you can abide. You know, just I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease, right? All the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods. But go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. And if you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help. You could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org. John, one of my last jobs, you know, as a deputy sheriff, was a school resource officer. It was called ESIL, which stands for Expanded Educational Agricultural Laboratory. I was like, okay. It's a farm, you know, with kids. It's like the last chance particular school they had in their district right there. There's a lot of different things going on, you know, different. I thought, you know, all these kids needed just somebody to be able to just kind of father them. And I had all these wrong ideas about how it was going to work. But, you know, one of the things that they did was they wanted to be able to have a golf tournament. It's called Best Ball Golf Tournament, where you have to get several of the teachers together, go out on a golf course to be able to play ball. And the best ball, based on my understanding of it, is that you have a group of people and each of you hit a ball in your group, and you have several groups playing each other, and whoever hits the best ball, you play off that ball. And of course, I know what a hook is, and I know what a slice is, which is not what you want. And I didn't play golf. I kind of hacked at golf. You know what I'm saying? I was hacking at it. And these guys were merciless. It was just totally terrible. You know, I kept on trying to hit the ball, you know, in a certain direction, but it'd go in a total different direction. And finally, I was on a putting green, and I thought, this is it. I am almost there. I am almost there. My ball lands, and I'm going to knock it in. And finally, one of these teachers looks at me and says, just pick your ball up. I'm like, you know, I can't believe that. Of course, I didn't have the best ball at that point. But this is what happened. This is what I got to tell you why. This is so important. So we get back, and this particular teacher was one of the guys who worked with the students in the agricultural area. And so he had sort of like a shed, if you would, of where his some of his equipment was and his file cabinets. And there was this four-door file cabinet that has a metal rod that you slide down to lock the whole file cabinet up. So you have to raise it higher than the file cabinet, and you're lowering it down. So it's the same day now. The same day the boy makes in front of my golf. He's out there fixing to lock up his file cabinet, and he lifts that rod up to slide it down into the file cabinet, and lightning, I'm telling you, lightning comes down and strikes that rod and comes right through him and goes right into the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
He's okay. It did erase his credit card, all the little magnetic strips on his credit cards. But he comes in, he's just shocked, obviously. His hair is kind of sticking out a little bit. But he's okay. Nothing happened to him physically. But he looked at me, total hair sticking out, you know, frazzled. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever make in front of my golf again.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, I wanted to share before the end of the extra hour, you pursue what you desire. You know, many of us are familiar with the scripture of Jeremiah 29:11 that says, you know, that speaks about, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope in the future. And that's been quoted quite a bit, and it's really amazing. I remember the first time I heard that scripture and thought, God, you got plans for me? Hoping if wait a second. Hope, you know, stop the press. I want to hear all about these plans. Because I had some of my own plans, but yeah, I found out that God's plans were better.
That's right.
Far better. But oftentimes what gets missed or not seen is a beautiful scripture in verse 13 that says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I mean, that's so powerful. I mean, there's so many right now that are envious of others and their relationships with God. And the truth is that you can have as much of God as you want. You really can.
Yeah.
But the concept is, you know, you can find God.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. You can find God. But you got to seek him out. And it's not just about seeking. You'll find God and connect with him when you commit your whole heart toward that pursuit. That's what the scripture says, is you will seek me and find me. Because you can seek and not find, but you will seek and find me when you do what? When you seek me with all of your heart, when you pursue me. And the word pursue means to chase after someone, to follow in an effort to overtake them, to capture them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about that, it just makes me think, wow, man, that's so awesome. There's something in our heart that really causes us to pursue, to run after things.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about today, people, there's people pursuing a job. You know, if you don't have a job, I tell you what, you're pursuing one. You're going after it. Mm-hmm. You're going on interviews. You're looking up job opportunities. You're getting your resume together. You're doing all these different things because you're in hot pursuit after a job or a career. Some people are in hot pursuit for an education. You know, they're going to do what they have to do, and they went to high school, and they're now going to college, and now they want to get a master's, and now they want to specialize degree, and now they got a JD because they want to be an attorney, or they got a PhD because they want a doctorate, and they're pursuing. They're running hard after it. Pursue means that you're running. It doesn't mean that you're like casually walking or, you know, skipping. You're hard after it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a chase on. There's an intensity often fueled by a passion.
Focus.
Yeah, focus. Yeah. Some are pursuing love. They just want a relationship. I just want someone to talk to. They just want someone to spend time with, you know, and they're pursuing love. The ideal mate, if you will.
Right.
And they're pursuing hard. They're pursuing status. They're pursuing money. But the question is, I mean, who's pursuing God? You know, you can pursue God. And when you pursue something, you pursue it because it's the object of your desire. You pursue it because it's something that you really want. I mean, everybody can remember that. That was something that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a child or something, you wanted that thing, you were going to get that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was, but you did whatever you had to do to get it.
Right.
You know, when I was young, listen, I wanted baseball cards or whatever it was. I didn't care what I had to do. I mean, I worked and I did all kinds of stuff. When I was young, I mean, I used to get up at 5:30 in the morning to deliver a newspaper every morning in the snow and all this type of stuff because I wanted to have, you know, $30 a week that I got paid. $30 a week. And I look back and think, I can't believe that I got up at 5:30 in the morning. You know, I was like, I don't know, 14 or something like that. And, you know, get up there at 5:30 to in the snow. You know, I had to go, like, when they used to drop off the newspapers.
Was this every day?
Every single day. And the Sunday paper?
Wow.
And the Sunday paper.
Dude, you were a madman back then.
Oh, my goodness, dude. The Sunday paper, you had to stuff it.
Uh-huh.
And then when it snowed, the people that would drop the paper off first thing in the morning, I'd hear the truck come by my house.
And you went to school?
And I went to school. And I went to school. Listen, and I worked after school. Well, that's another story for another day.
My goodness. Wow.
This is a kid that was in pursuit, man. But they would throw the paper. It was in a huge bag. And it would be buried in the snow. So I'd spend 15, 20 minutes finding where the newspaper was.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. And I look back, I think, how did I sleep that extra, you know, especially up north when it's really cold and you wake up, you don't want to leave your warm bed for nothing in the world when it's freezing, you know? And I just look back, but that time in my life, I was a kid that wanted stuff and I wanted to go get it. And I was in pursuit, and I probably was in pursuit for baseball cards, just to buy a whole bunch of them, you know? But the chasing after and the running after them, if you will, it wasn't a big deal because I had a desire. I had an objective. And the word desire means to wish or to long for, to crave, a deep and compelling wish for something. And it's very important that when it comes to a relationship with God, if you're not running after God, if you don't have a pursuit for him, you don't have a desire for him, you're never going to run for him. You're never going to run hard. And many people today are experiencing spiritual boredom because they got complacency.
Mm-hmm.
They're complacent. They've kind of figured it all out. They've allowed themselves to get a lot of spiritual head knowledge, biblical knowledge, but they don't have personal relationship with God. And let me tell you something. You can come to a point in your life where you say, listen, everything in my life's got to go. But I'll tell you one thing that can't go. You know, I got to have God.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to have God. If you're bored today in your walk, you got to ask yourself, how hungry are you for God and the things of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be entertained more? Think about it. The same couple of hours you take out to do whatever, watch a movie, you can actually spend time with God. But let me tell you something, all you're going to have these days, and really all you really have is at the core is a relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 27:7 says, he who is full loathes honey, but even to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And that scripture is so powerful because you think about the person who is full, they can't eat another thing. I think about Thanksgiving sometimes around my house. And you're so full because you overdone it. Yeah. And someone comes out of the kitchen and says, oh, don't forget, we have a pumpkin pie. You're like, pumpkin pie? As much as I love some pumpkin pie, much as I love a peach right now, I can't even think about one more thing because I'm about to throw up.
Right.
I don't recommend eating like that, you know? But, you know, if that's ever happened to you, if not, share that with a friend, you know,
I'll
confess my stuff right here, you know, but you loathe means you're just disgusted. You're repulsed by just one more thing, even though you know that it tastes delicious to you. So he who is full loathes honey, something that's delicious, but even the one that is hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Right.
And if you're hungry, if you're really, really hungry after God, you'll settle. You'll take anything.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a harsh word, a good word, whatever word you're like, man, I want everything that God has for me. I want to encourage you today. Matthew 7 says, listen, ask, seek, knock. If Jesus tells us that if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be open. That's a promise to us, letting us know that if we pursue, if we go after, if we're engaged, we're going to get a response.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a response. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like going after Jesus. There's nothing like pursuing him. You can start by abiding. If you have an abide, don't know what that is, you can get a simple plan. You can request it at iabide.org. And it's a plan how you can spend daily time with God. But let me tell you something. You don't have to stop at just abide. You can continue to abide. I mean, you don't have to stop just in the morning time of sharing God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You can abide with God continually,
right,
and have a heart that wants to pursue him. Because when you're in pursuit of God, you'll find out that he will pursue you as well. And it's just a back and forth, you know, tag you're it, if you will. I want to read that scripture again. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I want to encourage you in your pursuit. Chase hard after the heart of God. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come and get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.